Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Cinephiles Extended Cut, the show where we break down the biggest stories of the week as covered by the original Cinephiles and some other stories that didn't quite make the cut. So if you like this, be sure to subscribe to Mojo Talks for more. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
We got Justin, we got Phoebe, we got Liam rocking the beauty man bun.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm Matt, I'm your host.
I don't know.
It didn't make an appearance.
Yeah, it didn't make an appearance.
Didn't make the extended.
We're all feeling good today, though. I think the vibes are good today.
Yeah, we have good vibes today. And you know what? Let's just jump into what you're watching. So I guess we'll start with my pal Justin here to my left. What have you been watching?
Been watching a bunch of stuff, man. Rewatched. Went back to the theater to go see Infinity War for a second time.
Oh. Really?
That movie's long.
I don't know how you sat through that movie.
Like
second
it?
Time, it's two and a half hours.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
You're contributing
two and a half and change.
To the eventual $1 billion it's going to make.
Isn't the half a change?
No, more change than that. Even more change. But yesterday I watched the HBO documentary on Andre the Giant.
Oh, interesting.
Which is called Andre the Giant.
It's a very that
actually
character
looks
for you, I feel.
Pretty sad.
It's really good. And you know what? I'm not a big wrestling fan. Like, I've never been that into wrestling. So, like, a lot of the interest in the documentary for me was just like learning about the pre-WWE, WWF world of wrestling, where it was just like these local tournaments kind of thing. And Andre the Giant would just like tour them all, and people had never seen anyone like him, just this giant human being.
Yeah.
So it was kind of really interesting for that. It is definitely sad. It has a, you know, he passed away pretty young. So there was like a sad ending to the documentary, spoilers.
It's
really good. I highly recommend it.
I find sad wrestling documentaries is a very interesting niche of film.
Haven't been that many.
Beyond the Mat is interesting.
Oh yeah,
you should watch that. It's on Netflix. Great.
Would you say like if you weren't necessarily a WWF, WWE fan that you would enjoy this?
I've never watched wrestling my whole life, so I really enjoyed it just from like the human interest perspective, and like this guy was really
crazy.
Really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nice. Sure. Phoebe, what have you been watching?
I have been re-watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Are we talking extended cuts here? Or,
the extended cuts.
The deep cuts.
Great films. I love them. I just started reading the books. I feel like I came so late to this franchise, but it's so great.
When was the first time you watched it?
Like last year.
Whoa.
Are you already doing another rewatch?
Yeah, of course. They're incredible.
Got a lot to make up for.
I also watched the Hobbit series, which is just not...
Get off our panel.
And I can tell you right now that I think for me, Lord of the Rings feels so much more authentic because of the costume design, because of the, you know, the set design. And I feel like The Hobbit was just so much more digitized and it just didn't feel real to me. And it was also like the book is so playful and fun, and they tried to make it into like this epic trilogy a la Lord of the Rings, but it just didn't translate.
I was reading
well.
Some production stuff, or like, I guess it was an article that came out this week about Evangeline Lilly coming out and saying that she is like a huge fan of the Hobbit books, or the Hobbit's book, I guess it's only one book.
Yes.
And she was saying that she only wanted to do the movie if she wasn't going to be part of a love triangle or something like that, which I think they agreed on, but then like later on they added it.
Totally made a love triangle.
Yeah.
A very weird love triangle, by the way.
So like that's kind of, I don't know, kind of a dick move on their part.
Wasn't that movie also shot in like 60 frames per second or like 120?
It was kind of a gimmicky thing where they wanted to have these like super fast cameras.
Yeah.
I think the idea was that like a lot of TVs were being made in that format, and they wanted something that didn't look like...
But the look is so terrible. That I thought of that as soon as you said like it didn't feel authentic.
No,
I think,
it felt very weird.
Yeah,
I think Peter Jackson wasn't even like attached to that movie till like a bit into production.
Well, it was supposed to be Guillermo del Toro, no?
Was it?
Early on? I remember hearing that. That it was for a long time during production, it was supposed to be Guillermo, and then at the last minute they were like, hey, Peter Jackson, you did the first ones, you want to do this one? And he was like, yeah, I guess
this must be good.
A fun tidbit about the Hobbit trilogy is that they went way over budget because they wanted, you know, that that extra, and Peter Jackson actually paid for
out of pocket
for the rest of it, and
sure,
unfortunately,
so
it was not. It did not make it better.
No. I think we can all agree with that.
Yep.
Liam, you went to the theater, didn't you?
I go to the theater a lot recently.
By yourself?
I used to not go. no, I actually went with resident also film person, Eric
Cohen.
Which I have gone on record and said that Eric is my favorite WatchMojo employee. He's the best.
Have you met me?
We got to stop saying
yes,
that.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, more than enough.
I saw the movie Tully, which I think comes
Sully?
Out. No.
Tully.
Sully from Monsters, Inc.? No. I think it comes out this week with Charlize Theron, directed by Jason Reitman and written by Diablo Cody, who famously made Juno,
yep.
which is a movie that is very polarizing. I've come to
I love
learn.
It.
I like it too, but I think I understand why people don't like it. We talked about it in our review, which you could check out. I think it comes out. I think it should be out by now.
Coming out today.
I think it's out like at 10 or something. I
don't
know.
It'll probably be out by the time you see this. So check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I think they've really learned their lesson since Juno, because Juno is so in your face. Like the writing is everything that comes out of Ellen Page's mouth is like so snarky and so like. Oh, like I'm just like a hip, like. But I think like Charlize's character is very much like that, but it's very toned down. It's great. It's a movie about like motherhood and kind of dealing with babies and
like in the modern era. So
yeah,
to speak,
for sure.
Right? Mackenzie Davis is in it too, right?
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I
love her
in love
so
with
much.
Mackenzie Davis since that movie.
Me too.
Oh,
high five.
yeah, it's great. Check it out. Definitely. A week after Infinity War, it is definitely much more of a toned-down movie that I think everyone can enjoy because everyone can relate. I don't know.
Very cool. Like that they are making a movie about a mother and the not-so-glamorous aspects of being a mother, and I think that that's going to resonate with a lot of people. I feel like postpartum depression is something that's not talked about a lot in the contemporary media landscape, but it's so important,
it's
and so many women are affected by it. So I'm really excited to see this movie, and I'm going to take my mom to see it as
definitely.
Well.
Definitely. I think it's a movie that, like, to see with your mom. I said in my review that I wanted to call my mom after. I didn't because it was like late at night. But
did you call her the next day, or you just like
I'm giving her a shout out right now,
mom.
Mom,
oh,
I love
so
you.
Cute.
Let's all give a shout out, mom.
It's
Ashley, I love you.
A good
I think Mother's Day is coming up. Yeah,
shout out, mom.
This movie should have came out on Mother's Day.
I was saying it's a good segue into what I was watching this week. I saw Kodachrome, which is a Netflix original film. I find it's kind of like you didn't really hear about it. There wasn't much advertising for it, but Ed Harris is in it, who's amazing. There's also Elizabeth Olsen of Infinity War fame and Jason Sudeikis. And it's basically a film about Ed Harris. He's an older gentleman who's dying from liver cancer, and he's estranged from his son for like 10 years because they had like a very bad relationship. But then Elizabeth Olsen's character is like his nurse. And she goes to meet him. He's like, yeah, your dad's dying. And he really wants to get this film developed. But it's only being developed like halfway across the country. So they go on. It's like a road trip movie.
Oh, nice.
Super good. So it's like a father-son story, road trip movie. I kind of bawled.
Is it not a comedy? Jason Sudeikis is like
see,
comedy.
I thought it would be. It is comedic, but it is mostly a drama. And I wasn't exactly expecting that. I was hoping to really like it. The first maybe like third of the movie, the writing's kind of like a little cliche and too on the nose. But after that, it just becomes brilliant. So definitely check that out.
Did you watch it by yourself?
I did watch it by myself.
Why don't you ever make fun of him for watching things by himself?
But this was at the comfort of my own home. So
the setup kind of sounds like the Tom Cruise plotline from Magnolia. With like the estranged father and the nurse that like
that's
makes
interesting.
The connection.
That's a good
with
connection.
With the road trip aspect.
There's no road trip in Magnolia, unfortunately.
It did give me Little Miss Sunshine vibes a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, that's a good
so
movie.
So I definitely suggest it for you guys
also
our listeners.
I'm gonna go off a bit of a tangent here, but
I think
the reason that you don't hear about it is because I think people have lost faith in Netflix for movies. I don't know. I think like people kind of hear Netflix movie and they're like, all right, well, this is just going to be something I check out down the line.
It is a Netflix original, but it wasn't like produced by Netflix. It premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival last year.
We call it TIFF in the industry.
Yeah, TIFF.
I'm not
for
in the
all
industry,
you,
I
have
know.
A TIFF mug. It's not this one, unfortunately. But yeah, so Netflix just bought the distribution, right? So
cool.
But yeah, definitely check it out. So that basically wraps up what you're watching. And next, we're going to talk about the three biggest stories of the week that's going to come up right now. All right, we're back. And we're going to talk about the three biggest stories of the week. And we're going to start things off with a new trailer that dropped, guys. It's another Marvel story, but Marvel's all over the news. So, I mean, we got to talk about it. It's Ant-Man and the Wasp. Dropped the second trailer. We know the story. Ant-Man teams up with the Wasp. Has to fight, who's the villain? The Ghost.
Ghost.
The Ghost looks very interesting. We got a few more shots of of it, him, her.
Her.
Her. There you go. Justin knows all the comic book stuff. So I guess the quick and dirty question here is, with all the success of Avengers Infinity War, is this going to be a worthy follow-up? Or is it going to kind of like...
It's going to be a palate cleanser, I think.
I'm excited. Oh,
I like
I'm really
that.
Excited for it.
Touch upon that more. Palate cleanser.
Well, it's a comedy.
Yeah,
it's a and Infinity War.
But Infinity War is funny. Like, it's not devoid of comedy.
Do you think
I don't think
of that movie was funny?
Right, yeah. It has a pretty... Like, it balances the sadness with, like, there is a lot of funny moments in it.
But like, the nothing movie, different than any other Marvel movie, right? It's like...
I disagree. I mean, like, the Avengers movies, like, even Civil War kind of has a downer of an ending. But, like, the Ant-Man series so far has been pretty straight comedy.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy
Guardians
as well.
And
good comparison.
Yeah.
The scene where he, like, grabs a truck and uses it as a scooter, I was like... I was howling.
Yes.
That was pretty funny.
The
He's
idea
just pushing it with the one leg.
Making so things good. Big, making things small, it's going to be
the
funny.
Ending, yeah. The ending of the trailer, I think, is like is exactly what I want to see out of a Marvel movie. Like, that bit with, like, this comparing sizes.
Yeah, that
and,
was
like,
hilarious.
Paul Rudd's, like, facial expressions, I think, are, like, hilarious. And I think it's, like, stuff you see in, like, Role Models or...
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. Paul
Rudd is so funny. He's so perfect for this role.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing Ant-Man, and we were just talking about this. Like, I feel like it's so colorful and fun, and it's just, like, such a light movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that Evangeline Lilly, which is the second time that we mentioned her in this podcast.
Yes.
I'm really excited for her to take on a bigger role in this film, because she was really good in the first one. She has sort of that, like, deadpan style of delivery, and I think that she's going to kill it.
No fuss, no muss.
I think
her,
it might be a hot take, but I think Paul Rudd's, like, the funniest comedic actor working today.
He's so good.
His face. His face, like, changes. Do you know what I mean? Like, did you ever see him on Jimmy Fallon when he was doing the Queen, like, lip sync battle?
Oh, yeah.
That was so
good.
So
he's
funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's so funny.
He can
I could
it all in his face.
Yeah. Just make a podcast about how funny Paul Rudd is. I swear, I could talk.
Nobody
about
would listen.
Oh, damn.
Nobody would listen to anything I make. So
in Civil War, just the scene in Civil War, in the scene when, like, he's in the van and they open it up and you see him for the first time.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, sleeping. And he's like,
he's
Captain
great.
America, oh, so nice to meet you. And it's like, what does he say?
Thanks for thanking me.
So good. So funny. Yeah.
He's great.
So, Justin, what do you think? Do you think it's going to be a worthy follow-up? Because I will say this. He's kind of like the most, like, I won't say, like, least liked, but it's kind of like one of the least popular of the superheroes in the Marvel Universe.
I think it's just, like, the most standalone, no?
Well, they even call it out in Infinity War, like, when they're talking to Bruce Banner, they're like, can we call anyone else? And they're like, well, Ant-Man is, like, in house arrest. And there's, like, there's an Ant-Man and a Spider-Man? Like, what the hell? I thought that was a great joke. But, like, Ant-Man is such a weird kind of on-the-perimeters character. I mean, in the comics, he's always been part of the Avengers. Like, from the very start, he's one of the founding members.
Mm-hmm.
A different Ant-Man, not the Paul Rudd character, but Hank Pym, who's Michael Douglas in the movie. I feel like following up on Infinity War, this was, like, an interesting choice.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, the big conversation online is, like, when does this take place?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no spoilers, but, like, the ending of Infinity War had, like, quite a drastic impact on the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, does this take place before? Does it place after? Is that twist going to happen at some point during the movie? Maybe a post-credit scene? So there's a lot of discussion about, like, how that plays into this movie.
I'm
curious to see how that...
I have a theory about what will happen at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp, but I will not say it because it is a spoiler. So if you want to
you just
any way possible.
Yeah, put it on a platter
and
then take it away. I was going to say, I think the whole... Like, I'm surprised that Ant-Man is even a thing in movies. Because, like, I think, like, the only reason that the first Ant-Man was made is because, like, Edgar Wright did half the work for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I think the only reason this one's being made so soon is because they were like, oh, we could just throw this after Infinity War and people will see it because they will think it'll tie in somehow to...
And it probably will.
I think it's, like, there's a reason that Iron Man... Well, I guess, there's a reason that there's no, like, Iron Man or Captain America or... I don't know, Hulk isn't the next movie, right? Because, like, they have faith in those movies to do well regardless. Whereas, like, Ant-Man, it's like, I think that it's coming after Infinity War, it'll be such a big a bigger deal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't
know. Yeah, it'll kind of ride the hype of Infinity War.
And, like, I think it's surprising that there's such a big gap between Ant-Man and the next Marvel movie. Right?
Yeah, I mean, we've already had... That's going to be the third this year. So, like, it feels like... You're right.
Oh, it is the third this
yeah,
year.
It's
oh
going to be God. The third
and it's only
this
the first
year.
Half of the year.
It feels like
yeah.
that, but we probably need a little bit of a break.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah.
And like, it's not even like Disney has Star Wars to fill the gap, right? It's like Han Solo is in May.
This May, yeah, instead yeah. of the December Man. Release date that we've been having so far.
It's time for some production houses to be hitting the top of the box office instead. Then.
That's right. Yeah. They're leaving a big gap for everybody in the second half of the year. So yeah. hopefully somebody can rise up.
Yep.
Yeah. Rise up.
So Marvel's going to take a little bit of a break. We have more Marvel to talk about, but let's talk about another story first. Martin Scorsese, who is my personal favorite, most favorite director of all time. He was in the news this week, guys, and he's usually a happy guy, not really negative, but this time he took some shots at Rotten Tomatoes and CinemaScore. He doesn't like them. He doesn't like them. I'm gonna read a quote he had. He said this at the TCM Classic Film Festival Awards. He won an award there, and this is what he said with his platform. Let me clear my voice here.
Do a Martin Scorsese impression.
The horrible idea that they reinforce. No,
pretty good. That's actually bad. Really good.
Really
yeah.
good. Yeah.
So he said the horrible idea they reinforce is that every picture, every image is there to be instantly judged and dismissed without giving audiences time to see it.
I agree.
I also agree with that. Watch Mojo has a video, and it's top 10 great movies with bad Rotten Tomato scores. Mm-hmm. And we're doing another one because there are just so many out there that have bad Rotten Tomato scores. One of them is Jumanji, the original film with Robin Williams, which I think is such a classic for so many people.
Yeah.
And it's just like an example that, you know, critics are so cynical, and they have such a specific set of, you know, parameters in mind for what they want to see in a film.
Yeah.
And even a movie as like classically renowned and is such a huge part of everybody's childhood has a bad score. I think what's more important would be like the audience score. I think that would be more important as opposed to the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Do you personally take more more importance in the audience score than the critics one?
I go and see movies on my own, you know, decision. Yeah. I don't say like, oh, I want to see a movie because it has 100% rating. I want to go see a movie because there's a lot of hype about it and people that I like and who have the same sort of tastes as me are recommending it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know from experience that critics can be quite cynical and everybody has their own tastes.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to argue that Rotten Tomatoes is like a positive thing for the movie going experience.
And it's become such a
I think it's hard to argue that it's positive because like the other thing is that we have to keep in mind that like Rotten Tomatoes isn't a guy. Like Rotten Tomatoes isn't just like,
man,
you know,
I could go on about that for so long. When Suicide Squad came out, it was like,
Rotten Tomatoes just hates
Rotten
this.
Tomatoes hates Suicide Squad.
But people need a lesson on Rotten Tomatoes, it seems.
It's kind of difficult because in order to talk about Rotten Tomatoes, you have to like understand like, oh, what does that score actually mean and all this stuff. And it reminds me that like I have film reviewers that I go to that I like follow on Twitter that I kind of know what their sensibilities are. So when they give something like Infinity War a bad review, like there are critics that I really like that gave Infinity War a bad review, but I take that with the consideration that, oh, maybe they're not interested in superhero movies and stuff like that. When you come to Rotten Tomatoes, it's just like blanket statements about like, how did 200 people feel about this? And here's a number to represent that. It's not a great system. And also then you have people that like just try and play that system. Like there was a story when Lady Bird came out. It had a perfect score.
Oh, that's a very good point.
And then that one guy was like...
Was it Armand White?
I don't think it was Armand White.
That
I think
guy's notorious for
hating
good
movies
and loving
bad. But
then it's just like a game,
right?
It's like, it's not even like... It's not an industry. It's just like, oh, like how... I don't know.
But you can't blame people for wanting to play that game when the game is being played. Like, you can't get mad at the guy who's like, I'm going to be the one negative review of Lady Bird. Because what happens...
Clicks, right?
It gets... a million articles written about it. Finally, someone has taken Lady Bird to task. And like the review isn't even that negative. If you read his review, he's like, it's good.
But it's like, what would happen if I wrote to Rotten Tomatoes and said, I want this to be
his name is like in all these articles, like the guy who, I don't remember the guy's name. So obviously the tactic didn't work that well.
Like, but if you go to Rotten Tomatoes website, it's like, I'm sure so many people just rather than like reading people's reviews, it's like, going to the Rotten Tomatoes page, scrolling down, and just seeing out of context blurbs about like what these reviewers thought of these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just to shout out quickly, Mojo Plays. We do some reviews over at Mojo Plays, and we don't give scores. And
I think that's great.
A real reason because of that is like you write this big review and you give your thoughts and your opinions, and then you're like, seven.
And I think what does seven mean? And I think like movies are so like black, like they're just like they're not like black and white, right? It's like I see like a movie like Tully, and I'm like, oh, I didn't like this about it, but I like this about it. And it's like, do I think that that ruins the experience? That makes it like a distinctly bad movie, or like I don't know.
Okay, so here's a question for you guys though. Let's say there's a movie that's coming out. You're kind of interested in seeing it, and then reviews start coming out, and Rotten Tomatoes gives it, or not Rotten Tomatoes, but the reviewers collectively give it, let's say, like a 35%. Would you, like, I know you guys personally, so there are times when you've seen ratings like that and you're like, yo, that's garbage. Yeah, I'm not gonna bother seeing that.
Yes.
But like, I think those are for movies where it's like, I wasn't gonna see them regardless. You know what I mean? Like, if a movie is like in the works, like, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, I'm a big Terrence Malick guy, and Song to Song came out last year, and I was like so excited for that movie for like so long, and then it gets rotten score, but I'm like, I still want to see it regardless because I like Terrence Malick, I like Ryan Gosling, I like all these people.
Yeah.
So like I don't know if like the cast and talent behind it is something that interests me, then I'll see it regardless. I don't think because I'll always find something that I like about a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like I don't really take that into account. Like I said before, like I'll take the opinion of people that I know have the same sensibilities as me, that want to see the same things as me. I also think like it's never a wasted moment when you go to the theater to see a movie. I think that it like it's always fun, it's always nice, even if the movie is bad. You know, I would never not go see a movie because it has like a 35% rating. I think that's just ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
And there are movies that get really good scores that I have no interest in seeing too. Like it's the other way around. You know,
that was my experience with Infinity War.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, that's a good point because, you know, those superhero movies get great reviews. Black Panther was in the high 90s, but there's a lot of people that are like, I don't
see the difference between this and...
And that's a fair thing to say. If you're not interested in a genre and, like, the movie that you're watching isn't, like, subverting or trying to reach outside of that genre. Like, Black Panther is a superhero movie.
Yeah.
It's a really good superhero movie. I like superhero movies, so when I see it, I'm like, oh, I can understand why this stands above the rest. But if you're like, I unequivocally dislike this genre, you're not going to, even if it gets a 96 or it makes sense that you would keep to your guns and be like, it's not for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. So do you guys think that people should be taking less stock into what Rotten Tomatoes puts out in terms of scores? It seems like when I read what I'm seeing on the internet, a lot of people are just like, oh, Rotten Tomatoes sucks anyways. Just, you know, go see a movie if you want to see it. Like, what do you think? Do you think even like Martin Scorsese saying this might make people not care about Rotten Tomatoes even more so?
Or
do you
think people's minds are already made up? I think it's just like, there's so many mindless people out there that are just reading this stuff and like are putting so much faith into it. I don't think anything's changing, and I think it's just like people that aren't going to be swayed. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's also a result of the speed of the internet, right? Like it's such a tough sell to be like, hey guys, don't listen to Rotten Tomatoes. Find a critic that you really like and like read the criticism and like really understand what.
No, but I can just read this number and get an idea.
Exactly. You Google it. It's the first thing that comes up. You're like, I understand everything about this movie now.
Yeah.
It is bad, and I will go on my life saying that it is bad.
You're making me sad, Matt. This news is making me very sad.
Okay, so let's skip this then. That was a good conversation. But maybe this will pick you up. I mean, it's picking up at the box office. I'll say that.
Good segue. Nice.
You like that one, eh?
Nice.
So Avengers Infinity War, we talked about it last week, but we're going to talk about them again this week. We had mentioned that it was looking to hit $250 million opening weekend, which would have broken the record, I should say. And it did, except it crushed $250 million and went all the way to $305.9 million, which beat the previous record holder, The Force Awakens, which had $247 million. And the records don't stop there, guys. It also became the fastest movie to hit $300 million at the box office in North America, and it's probably going to hit $1 billion really soon. They're projecting like in the 10th or 11th day, and that would make it the fastest to hit $1 billion. And again, it beat The Force Awakens, which hit $1 billion, or it could beat The Force Awakens, which hit $1 billion in 12 days. So, I mean, we've seen it all week. Marvel's everywhere. They're at the top of the box office, which seems to be like all the time. On Twitter, they even had like that picture of the Star Wars character handing the lightsaber over to like, I thought that was the lamest thing ever.
I don't want to say what I'm not going to go there.
It's brutal because people are like, oh, it's like classy move. It's like, no, it's not. It's the same studio.
Yeah.
They don't care. They're making the same money anyways. Yeah.
Anyway. And then when Star Wars breaks that, the next Star Wars breaks that, they're going to do the same thing.
Or are they going to do?
They're going to hand it back.
Giving the Infinity Gauntlet to Luke Skywalker.
Here's the shield. Here's
Or then like shaking hands and it's like the Infinity Gauntlet shaking hands with like...
Yoda, Luke's robot hand or something.
I saw something this week that was like, it outpassed like Justice League's entire opening.
In the first week,
and it's like 4 days. Justice League was supposed to be like DC's big movie, and like Infinity War is not even like a week into the
reached a week. Just now.
This is insane.
We're not necessarily making fun of DC. We're just pointing out facts. I just want to say that.
Okay.
DC sucks.
We're laughing.
Liam's a little bit. I'm ready to make fun of DC.
Oh man.
We were talking about this before. I think that the difference between the DCEU and the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is fun to watch.
Whereas DC is
not
too serious. The stakes are too low. It's too dark. The colors are boring.
There's like, no colors.
All of it. You know what I mean? And then you have a movie like Infinity War. It's like, it's beautiful. The colors. It's upbeat. You know, they have good chemistry with the cast and everything. It's just completely different.
Liam doesn't like either of them. So
jump
like,
in here. What were you guys
saying? Oh, I'm gonna get so much hate for saying this.
Oh boy, I love
it. I still think Marvel takes itself too seriously. Is that too much to say?
I disagree.
I still think it's like Infinity War. America is like so. Like, serious, that entire movie.
I disagree.
Okay, oh, my God. Every time he's on screen, I was like, man, like,
well,
off the flow.
Wow. You don't like the flow? The beard?
Oh, man.
He gets called out.
Think about
the beard.
Him in that movie compared to him in the first Avenger? Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
He's like, so, like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to get so much.
We don't even know what you're saying at this point.
I love Cap.
This movie's really heating up. People really like this movie. I don't understand. Like, I get
it.
Oh,
man. Yeah. People. That top 10 that we published this
MCU
week.
MCU movies?
Yeah. Plug it. What is it?
Top 10 MCU movies. We got a lot of hate for putting it
at
lower down on the list.
People are saying it's number one.
It's been out for not even a week.
That's just the hype they feel like the day or two after seeing it.
I could see the argument. Look, it's a combination of two things, right? Like, had the list come out right after we put out Black Panther, people would have been like, Black Panther's number one. And had we done it after Thor Ragnarok, people would have been like, Thor Ragnarok is number one. Mm-hmm. Whenever, like, these movies are good. And every time
but
one
give them
comes
some
up,
time.
You got to give them a second.
Oh, for sure.
Like, the
you
reason Civil War is number one is a number of reasons. One, it, like, holds up 2 years after it came out, which isn't that much time, but still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, suggest page also. People voted for these lists. Civil War was number one. Regardless, that's a bit off topic, but I think that the thing about this movie and where it stands in the like whole legacy of Marvel, ultimately it's half a movie, right?
It is. And I think
that's
like
true.
That's the thing. That would be like saying the best Harry Potter movie is like
Deathly Hallows Part One. Which is a bad take if that's your opinion. You're totally wrong.
It's a really bad take.
It's the same thing. It's like this isn't even a movie, it's like an episode of a TV show.
It is a movie. I will fight back on that a little bit. It is totally a movie. It does not have an ending. I'm already getting roasted. Does not have an ending.
Comments.
This movie ends with an act break.
I'm the troll of the comments.
I guess we'll just end it on this last question. Because it's dominating so much at the box office, does any other studio really have a chance at outperforming Disney in the long run?
This year?
No.
No, like, sure, or this just... year or in the long run. I mean, Star Wars isn't going to end anytime soon. Avengers isn't going to end anytime soon.
They have mastered the franchise model. And I think that, like, there's not really, in my opinion, like, any other studio that has it down-packed like that, that has, like, such a good system for it. And I just don't... They'll just keep acquiring these enormous franchises.
But it's not even like there's that many franchises out there that are, like... I mean, Warner Brothers has a great one. Warner Brothers is a great franchise, but they don't know what to do with it.
That's the thing.
But it's not like there's, like... it's not like Paramount is sitting on, like, something where they could just be like, all right, now it's time to release...
Transformers? Star Trek?
Liam, I'll throw it to you just quickly.
Well, like, there was that list that came out recently that was, like, top 10... I think it was, like, the highest grossing or something. I don't know if it was all time.
Mm-hmm.
But 9 out of the 10 are Disney. And I think of that, like, probably most of them are Star Wars or Marvel.
Yeah.
And then the only other one, I think, was Jurassic World or something. I don't know. Like, yeah. Jurassic World, like, is that going to even top it? I feel like that was just, like, a fluke that that happened to be.
Will it top Infinity War?
No.
No,
but I think, like, that movie was huge, but I think it was a fluke. Like, I don't think they're going to be able to, replicate the success of Jurassic World.
That's interesting.
We'll see.
Box office success, I guess. I don't know.
But, like, sequels do tend to do, like, build on the success. We talked about this before. Sequels do tend to build on the success.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, but you know what? That movie set such a high bar that I'm curious.
And I also think, like, opinion of that movie has kind of dipped a bit. I hated that movie that came out.
Wow.
I think people have kind of realized that the movie's not that good.
Yeah.
You hate everything.
Liam
does hate
Liam's
everything.
An ace here.
Loves the Florida Project. You.
I just said I liked Tully.
True. I like Tully. Well, true. Liam hates Marvel, but it's good.
Phoebe
hates Liam. Oh.
Me and Matt love each other.
Sad.
I was in such a good mood at the beginning of this episode, and now it's tarnished because I'm going to get hate.
So, okay, that basically wraps up the three biggest stories of the week. We hope you enjoyed that. But there are also a couple other stories that we want to talk about that didn't make the first original Cinephiles, and we're going to get to that next, guys. Okay, welcome back to the Cinephiles Extended Cut. If you want to check out the show as an audio podcast, we're on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. So now it's time for the cutting room floor, guys. We're going to start with a pretty heavy one. It was announced that Roman Polanski and Bill Cosby were ousted from the Academy. They're no longer members.
Academy of Motion Pictures?
That's the one. Nice. The big one. So, I mean, simple question. What do we think? I think we can all say probably deserved.
Probably the best course of action.
Yeah. I think we talked about this when we noticed that James Franco was not nominated for Best Actor this year at the Oscars.
Oh, on our little show.
I got a lot of hate for that. And guess what? I don't care. They deserve it. Bye. Good riddance. Nobody cares. And you can drag me in the comments all you want. I will just laugh at you.
I'd like to point something out.
I like that.
Drag me in the comments.
I'd like to just point something out. Bill Cosby, it's like obvious why now they've chosen to do this, because he's been convicted and
he built up a brand of being the role model type, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but in terms of the timing of this, like, I understand why now versus before they decided to be you're out of the Academy. Mm-hmm. For Roman Polanski, it's very weird because nothing new has come out about Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
And, it's just, that time frame, he's won an Oscar for the Pianist. It's like,
them just saying, like, oh, finish your
It's basically all credit due to the Me Too movement, basically being like, 100%. We have no tolerance for this anymore.
But
and
that's
weird. It points out the tolerance that we've had for it
I just
for
wanna
so long.
But jump there was in real quick and say, like, you mentioned the tolerance thing. The only reason Roman Polanski is out is because they're like, well, we have to kick Bill Cosby out. Oh, wait, if we do that, don't we look like hypocrites if Roman Polanski's still on?
Okay, but isn't there more names? Isn't there more names that were outed? And I'm sure some of them are probably in the Academy too. No.
Yes. But these are the two biggest.
Is Harvey Weinstein
immediately,
okay.
Basically. Yeah.
I also want to say that I feel like I've been reading a lot about the Bill Cosby case, and I feel like there are a lot of Black activists who are saying, like, good, we took Bill Cosby to task. Now it's time to take all of the other white people who were accused of these crimes to task as well, and not only this one entity. And I think that that is a really, really smart move on their part.
Oh, that's a good point, actually.
I think that it's a long time coming. And like you said, it's a history of tolerance. And it's like you said, all credit due to Me Too and all of these, like, super brave women for coming out. And it's just going to keep getting better.
Yes. Yeah.
The Bill Cosby stuff was so much quicker than most of, like, the white actors.
Yeah, I think that, like, whether or not you, like, see it, I think that it has a lot to do with race, and I think that it's really, it's a good move for them to also be doing that and taking everyone to task and not only a certain
type
of
person. Executives, right? Like, a lot of it is, you know, it's easy for, I think a big part of the Bill Cosby thing was also the fact that it was a very publicized thing, and people recognize the name, right? Like, you hear Bill Cosby has been accused of this, and you immediately, like, oh, this is something that I care about. And it kind of becomes like a media circus, obviously,
because
people give a shit and they want to see what's going on in that case. But when it comes to, like, the unnamed agent who groped Terry Crews all that
still
stuff,
in the industry, still running stuff,
actively trying to destroy Terry Crews's career, which he's been very vocal about. And it's crazy how much influence that kind of thing has. And it's just kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is like the whole Me Too movement has been, hopefully this is a move in the right direction. Hopefully this is a move in the right direction. And there hasn't been regression whatsoever. So I'm really hopeful that like this will just propel this kind of like stance forward, and these people won't be able to have the kind of tolerance that they've seen in the past.
No, the ball of judgment is definitely still rolling for sure. Any other final thoughts before we shift gears a little bit on that?
What's with the depressing news this week?
This is positive news.
It's definitely positive news, but I just mean like this very serious discussion about it.
I mean, it's a long time coming. It's such a nice moment for people who are victims of sexual assault and sexual abuse. Like it's really a victory, and you know it's important that all these voices are being heard. And I can't stress that enough.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Of course. So we'll shift gears a little bit. Black Widow, they're gonna make a movie about it.
I still don't believe it, but yeah.
So far, I shouldn't say they are, but they're definitely like really mulling it over now. And proof of this is that Marvel/Disney apparently have interviewed 65 directors who could potentially direct this one. That's a lot of interviews, no? Like, what do we think of that? That's crazy.
Well, you guys all look at me.
I think
you were looking at me before I said I don't know. This is good. This is good. I mean, there was no names thrown out.
I didn't see any names. They're just like they're really getting the ball rolling here.
Would it be ScarJo?
Suppose, like, yeah, you'd think. I'm not convinced. Like, it feels like...
Why is it so unlikely that this is going to be a thing?
Not that it's unlikely. It's just, like, I feel like if they were going to make a Black Widow movie, they would have already.
And it doesn't seem to be, like, really part of the whole MCU plan either, right?
Yeah, like, it's weird. And the other thing is, you know, they interviewed 65 directors. I'm really curious to see... And it almost feels like they would be dropping the ball if they didn't go after a female director, considering the success of things like Wonder Woman.
Jumped into my mind.
I think it has to be that way.
Right. I feel like ScarJo at this point, I think she would do a Black Widow movie, but it's a question of like, how do you tell that story at this point in the MCU?
That's what I agree with.
I don't know if she would. From what I could tell watching Infinity War, it seems like most of these like people who have been in the MCU for so long are kind of sick of it.
Yeah. But I don't know if you guys have seen that, but I think I've read like interviews where they've interviewed Scarlett Johansson. Yeah. She's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's like about high time that they actually make a movie about Black Widow. I'm totally on board for it. I don't know if that necessarily means that she would act in it or if she just thinks that it's something that's needed.
Can I have a hot take? Sure. I'm tired of Scarlett Johansson.
Whoa! Yeah.
I'm tired of Scarlett Johansson doing roles like this.
No, I don't know. Why? I think that it would be an opportunity to sort of find somebody else for the role.
I would actually agree with that.
I'm a little bit tired of her. I feel like she's oversaturating the market.
Because who do you replace her with? It's like you're not going to get better.
How many young emerging actresses are there that you could replace her with?
I think there's seven billion people in the world. Yeah. I don't know if the movie's going to happen. I'm tired of Scarlett Johansson. I am
bold. That's take. Yeah.
I could never get tired of Scarlett Johansson. She's a tremendous.
I don't know
if
I like her in roles like this. I don't know. I think like there's just like no range to.
Yeah.
Well, she has to have an opportunity to have range, right? Like, it's tough.
But is Black Widow that, like, I guess if you have a standalone movie, it is. But
Totally.
From what I've seen of her in, like, the Avengers and stuff like that, she doesn't really get much characterization.
Yeah. Well, barely anyone does, like, really get those character moments and those big ensemble pieces.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think she's been around for so long. Like, she's been around since Iron Man 2, which is a long time ago. She's one of the OG... Marvel members. I'd love to see a standalone movie, but until they're like, this is happening, I'm not convinced.
And if you do recast her, it can't be part of the MCU at all. It has to be like a prequel. I was gonna say prequel.
I think it's crazy that it took Captain Marvel? Is Captain Marvel the first standalone female Marvel movie?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's crazy that it took that long.
And it's still not even out.
It's still not even out.
Pre-production. Yeah.
I don't get that.
No. Moving on, another superhero story. It's all over the news. It's kind of a clickbaity one, if you ask me. And especially if you ask Justin, we're gonna throw it to him soon.
Ask Justin, please.
Ryan Reynolds was all like, "Yeah, you know, Deadpool 3, Not happening. Gasp, shock, but not so much, right, Justin?
Yeah, because there's going to be an X-Force movie.
Yeah. That's basically Deadpool 3.
Yeah, yeah. You'll see plenty of Deadpool. Don't worry, you guys. They're not going to stop the presses. They're not going to stop printing money.
And I think, too profitable. I don't think, like, Ryan Reynolds wouldn't ditch Deadpool. It basically revitalizes his career.
That's a career like, what was defining role, before
that?
Yeah.
But it's cool that they're going to take the X-Force route. I mean,
what can we expect with that, potentially?
Okay, so the X.
Let me set the table here, guys.
Yeah, the X-Force is a result of the gritty 90s in the comic books. In the late 80s, there were two books. One was Watchmen, the other was The Dark Knight Returns, that were like, what if superheroes were dark? And those are great stories, but then everyone was just like, yeah, great idea. So every superhero became these giant guys with elbow pads and pouches and giant guns.
Pouches? Cable. Like fanny packs?
Yeah, little pouches where there's like this artist. I don't get it. The guy who created Deadpool is very well known for like just throwing a bunch of pouches on every character.
I'd love to see one of these pouches.
Even Deadpool, his original, had just like this belt of like, anyways. They're super dark. They're super gritty. They have giant guns. I want to, like, obviously this is being played for laughs in these movies now, which I think is the right decision. But like, if we're doing a full-on X-Force movie, I think they should keep the tone of Deadpool and not make it like the actual X-Force comics.
Oh, no, that would be a huge mistake, yeah, no? I mean, you've established this R-rated, super hilarious. You can't deviate from
that. He needs to be the centerpiece. And I think, like, a big part of X-Force is Cable, Josh Brolin's character. So he's obviously going to be in for the long haul.
Yeah.
And their dynamic is interesting because obviously from the trailer we could see Josh Brolin's character is like super serious, and that's more closely the tone of X-Force. It's like, I gotta save this kid, I'm from the future.
Wow.
So I think that'll be an interesting dynamic, but I hope that it maintains the funny tone that people like and doesn't try to go all the way. Like even Deadpool calls it out in the trailer. He's like, what are you, from the DC universe?
Oh my god.
Which is,
sorry,
I find Deadpool is a little too self-aware.
I saw that trailer in the theaters, and I loved the first Deadpool, but even I cringe a little bit when he's like, "What is it, dark and gritty, like the DCEU?" It's like, all right, you're referencing things that are in our world now. Yeah. It's like
he calls him Thanos at one point in the trailer.
Yes. But like, do you think that's going to be in the movie, or do you think it's just a
good question? Good question.
I think it's a little too recent, and they're trying to get people to. Yeah.
I guess we'll see. We'll end on that note. We'll see.
Great place to land.
We'll talk about new releases really quickly here. Tully is coming out, which you've seen. Yeah. Thumbs up.
I would give it a thumbs up.
Yep.
Better than Sully.
Better than Sully.
Better than Sully from also better than Sully from Monsters Inc.
Bite your tongue.
But not better than the song from Monsters Inc., which we've been singing all morning.
We've been listening to all morning.
And the other one coming out is a movie called Overboard that stars
Anna Faris.
It's a remake.
Yeah, it's a gender swapped.
Yeah. Oh, it's gender swapped. Is that the difference from the original?
The original was with Kurt Russell. Maybe? No, I don't know.
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
It was their like big vehicle to like be like an it couple. Yeah.
Full disclosure, I had not ever heard of even the original.
This is a remake. Gone through it a few times at work.
Personally, I think the trailer looks like hot garbage. Does not look good.
Steamy garbage.
What's wrong with hot garbage?
And everything. It smells. Doesn't look good.
Those are two things.
That's all you need to know. So those are the new releases coming out this Friday, or today,
check out Tully.
We should say today. Liam says check out Tully. Overboard. You know, we're not Rotten Tomatoes. Watch the trailer, make the decision for yourself.
Maybe I'll see it, and maybe it'll be amazing, and I'll tell people to go see it.
Who knows?
We'll see.
Another we'll see.
So that basically wraps up the show for today, guys. So to our listeners, thank you very much for listening. And if you want to check out more, be sure to subscribe to Mojo Talks. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. So until next time, guys, have a good one. Peace.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. And don't forget to subscribe to our Mojo Talks YouTube channel for the video version of the Cinephiles Extended Cut.